We're going to be in Joshua, some parts of this tonight. If you've been here on Wednesday night, you might have even remembered studying this. And why do people have stones or memorials? Well, that's because people tend to be forgetful. Sometimes it's due to age, sometimes it's due to disease. Even the healthy and the young don't remember everything. What'd you have for lunch Wednesday? You know, some people remember that, maybe do not. Who remembers everything that they learned in school? Yes, my undergraduate degree was in history, but that doesn't mean that I know absolutely every historical fact that ever occurred in the world. You know, and some people look at me and saying, well, can you tell me about the Sumerian governors in 1500 BC, I go, I don't know that because I don't know all the histories. A history degree means you study history. It doesn't mean you necessarily know every little bit of it. I mean, those of us who have studied history, we might have our areas of study that we're most interested in. And there are some people, though, who have that photographic memory. They said, President Theodore Roosevelt could quote from books he read, and they said, well, how you do it? And he says, I just picture the page, and it comes up in my mind, and I can read it in my mind. I can't do that, not very often. Sometimes with my Bible, I'll say, okay, I know this page is on the right-hand side, but I just can't remember what book it's in, so I'm looking through on the right-hand side and hope that my memory is good, that it is indeed not on the left side. And there are other people who have photographic memories as well. And so what do we need to remember? Well, in Joshua, the third chapter, we talk about the crossing of the Jordan River. The Israelites are getting ready to possess the promised land at last. So in Joshua, the third chapter, in verse 1, it reads, and Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. It came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host, and they commanded the people, saying, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then you shall remove from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near to it, that you may know the way by which you must go. For you have not passed this way heretofore. And Joshua said to the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. And Joshua spake unto the priests, saying, take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass over before the people. And they took up the Ark of the Covenant and went before the people. And the Lord said to Joshua, this day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that, as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. And thou shalt command the priests that bear the Ark of the Covenant, saying, when you are come to the brink of the water of Jordan, you shall stand still in Jordan. So it's time to enter the promised land. They're going to cross the river Jordan. All the people are going to follow the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant. They say, don't come too close to it. Well, why do that? Well, first of all, it's because God said so, but also so everybody could see it. They had hundreds of thousands of people following. You know what? It's hard to get them all into a space like this entrance here. Wouldn't you think? It'd certainly take a while. So give them space to move, but also get them far back so they can see the Ark. You know, so a lot of people were there to see this. So in verses 9 through 13 of Joshua 3, it says, and Joshua said to the children of Israel, come hither and hear the words of the Lord your God. And Joshua said, hereby you shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Hivites, and the Perizzites, and the Girgashites, and the Amorites, and the Jebusites. Behold, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth passeth over before you into Jordan. Now therefore take you 12 men out of the tribes of Israel, out of every tribe a man, it shall come to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the Ark of the Lord of all the earth shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand upon a heap. So to prove the Lord was with them, they're going to be able to drive out the heathen. The river will be dry ground. Now, if you ever clean, if you ever blocked off water in a river, to make it, to dredge it or dry it out, I can't make the water come out of the earth quite that easily. You might be able to dam up a river. You might even be able to take the water out, at least most of it, but it's going to take a while for it to dry. It's going to be dry, hard land. And the people are going to be able to walk over it, and they're not going to go sink this far in the ground, which is often what happens. And it says in verse 14, it came to pass when the people removed from their tents to pass over Jordan, the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people, and as they that bear the Ark were come into Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the Ark were dipped in the brim of the water, for Jordan overfloweth all his banks over all the time of the harvest, that the waters which came down from above stood and rose up upon a heap very far from the city Adam, which is beside Zeraton, and those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, failed and were cut off, and the people passed over right against Jericho, and the priests that bear the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan. And all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan. So the water is stacked up in heaps. Now, you know what? I've stacked wood in a heap. I've stacked all kinds of things in a heap. But I've never been able to put water and stack it up in a heap. It just doesn't work that way. Unless it's ice, now that's different. Of course, the conditions have to be correct for the water to become ice, but water out of a river, I don't pick up water and put it there. I just can't do that. I could say, now water, stand up in a heap. I could get my daughter and say, come help me pick up this water. And you know what she would tell me? You're nuts. Why wouldn't she? Because you can't do that with water, but God can. God can do anything he wants. So they are able, and it's much like the crossing of the Red Sea in Exodus, the 14th chapter. That seems to be the more popular version. But you know what? This is just as spectacular as well, except Pharaoh didn't chase after them in this case, and that was not the disaster this time for Egypt that it was then. So they cross over, Joshua 4, verses 1 through 9. And it came to pass, when all the people were clean passed over Jordan, that the Lord spake to Joshua, saying, take you 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe of man, command you them, saying, take you hence out of the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones, and you shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place where you shall lodge this night. Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had prepared of the children of Israel out of every tribe of man. And Joshua said to them, pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of Jordan, and take you up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according unto the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you. And when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean ye by these stones? Then you shall answer them that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When it passed over Jordan, the waters of Jordan were cut off. And these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. And the children of Israel did so as Joshua commanded, and took up 12 stones out of the midst of Jordan, as the Lord spake to Joshua, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, and carried them over with them unto the place where they lodged, and laid them down there. And Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priests which bear the Ark of the Covenant stood, and they are there unto this day. Okay, they've crossed over. Now what? They get 12 men to get 12 rocks to put up as a memorial. I'm guessing they're not little pebbles. These are probably good-sized rocks, big enough that they could be stacked up and have some sight to them, but also they weren't too big for a man to carry. Big stones set up for a memorial for what the Lord has done for them. Now, go to chapter, still in chapter 4, but in verse 19, the people came up out of Jordan on the 10th day of the first month and encamped in Gilgal in the east border of Jericho. And those 12 stones which they took out of Jordan did Joshua pitch in Gilgal. He spake to the children of Israel, saying, when your children shall ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean these stones? Then you shall let your children know, saying, Israel came over this Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan from before you until you were passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up from before us until we were gone over, that all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that you might fear the Lord your God forever. That's why you set up the memorial, so you won't forget what God has done for you. He's given you these stones. You set them up so you, in the future, when your kids say, well, what is that pile of rock for? You can tell them. Because people need to be reminded. You know, that's something we don't always think about. Well, why do we need to be reminded? Well, there are memorials at all kinds of places. And 2 Peter, we read about this. In 2 Peter, the first chapter, in verse 3, it says, according to his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be the partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that you may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. In other words, Peter is saying, I'm reminding you one more time of the things, because we all need constant reminding. To keep the Lord's word in remembrance, it means we study it over and over and over. Why do you not remember anything out of high school geometry? Unless you use it, only thing I can remember from is that the shortest distance between two points is a straight line. Everything else, gone. I don't remember a bit of it, except the happiest day of my sophomore year in high school was when I was done with it. I had passed it, and I never had to see a geometry book ever again. There was a reason I went into history. There's a big reason for that. And we always remind ourselves of things. If we're not reminded of what is in the Lord's word, we will forget it. We will not know it. That's why we study and study and study. That's why we have Wednesday night services, so you'll know what's in the Old Testament. To know what is in the Old Testament will help you understand better what is in the New. And we see that, and false teachers are out there. You know, 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, it says, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. Because the false teachers are still out there. We need to be careful to know the word in order to prevent ourselves from being deceived. They're out there. There are people out there now saying that the Lord has already come in AD 70 and is setting our people's faith on its ear. And they are calling those who believe that the Lord is coming again, that the world will be destroyed by fire, that people will stand in judgment at a later time, they derisively refer to them as futurists because they believe in a future judgment day. And they say that we who believe this are the heretics. You know, truth becomes a lie, and a lie becomes truth in the eyes of some people. That's why we need to always be in remembrance of the Word, why we always need to be studying what the Lord has taught us on these things, lest we be gullible and get led away. There's the principle of remembering, because memorials mean something. It's meant to jog our memories, lest we forget. We have memorials in cemeteries. You know, we have headstones in some cases, you know, that mark our grave. Otherwise, you might not be remembered. I've gone into cemeteries. I like cemeteries. Snezhana does not. She's very afraid of bodies and funerals and things that go bump in the night. Sometimes if it's dark, she'll ask Sheila, can you go with me to get something out of the back bathroom because it's dark back there? And that still hangs on to her. And I like cemeteries because I like to read the headstones. I like to read the memories. I like to go look for ancestors' graves. There, you see war memorials in the cemetery. In the Thrillkill Cemetery north of Swayze, they have this big statue that is for Civil War veterans. There are quite a few in that cemetery. And you can go in there and you see these things, and there are memorial markers for people who didn't come home. My grandfather is buried in France, but there's a memorial marker in north of Swayze that has his name on it. And his marker went into some disrepair, and then a guy came out and restored it, and it looks pretty good, and it's no longer free-floating. And you can go to courthouses in Arkansas, Mountain View, where Sheila's family has a lot of people. There's a memorial to the Confederates, to the rebels. And some of Sheila's ancestors were rebels. And they don't know all the grave places, but they have the names of some of her forebears. And I found a picture of this on Find a Grave, and it shows Sheila with a couple of her nieces and nephews looking at it. If you are familiar with at Purdue, there is a memorial hall, I believe, for members of the football team who were killed around the turn of the century in a train accident on their way to play IU in Indianapolis many, many years ago. And if you go to my high school, there is a memorial for some Vietnam veterans who graduated from my high school and were killed. And of course, if you've ever seen many of my emails or postings, I haven't gotten to do it lately. One of my favorite pastimes is posing Sheila in front of a dead guy's grave. And this time, I just posed her in front of the memorial, and I said, this is not a dead guy's grave. He's buried somewhere else. But it's to remember these things. You go to Washington, D.C., what do you see? You see the memorials. You have streets named after people. We have money that shows people on it, you know, and they do that in other places. You know, in the United States, you got Lincoln on the $5 bill, you got Washington on the $1, you got Alexander Hamilton on the $10, Andrew Jackson's on the $20, at least for now. You know, Benjamin Franklin's on the $100, and there are some bigger denominations. There's a $100,000 bill with Woodrow Wilson on it. I have never seen one of those, and I probably never should. And we laugh about these things. You know, you go over in Ukraine, they've got different presidents or kings because they had kings. And so if you've got your one hryvnia bill, it has a picture of Yaroslav the Wise. And if you know who Yaroslav the Wise is, you took Tsarist Russia too. And believe me, we had a guy driving us around. He was trying to tell me about Kiev history. And he says, Yaroslav the Wise. And I said, I know who he is. You know who he is? You're from America. You're not supposed to know who he is. And I said, well, I took a class. Then he proceeded to regale me about the whole history of the Kievan Rus, because Kiev was the capital of Russia before there was a Moscow. Sheila wasn't impressed. She was not interested in that. And, you know, and maybe you've gone out and had, you know, looked at your, maybe you got a stone out, maybe you've bought cemetery plots so that people can find your grave one day after you are dead. I know with Sam's passing, I remember not too long before he passed, he was talking about that they were getting a stone out for him and for, you know, Joyce, and I think his daughter is going to be buried with them. And it's a way to remember people. And the memorials are out there today in various cemeteries, various places, and various buildings. But the stones can also take another form. It can take the form of unleavened bread and the fruit of the vine. Luke, the 22nd chapter, in verses 19 and 20, we read, "And he took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave to them, saying, This is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you." Also, Paul writes in 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, 1 Corinthians 11 and in verse 23, we'll read that too. Verse 23, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." The Lord's Supper serves as a weekly reminder, a memorial of what God has done for us, what his Son did for us in that sacrifice of him on the cross. Why? Our memories need constant jogging. We need constant reminding. What does the Lord's Supper mean to us? It is to tell us what God has done for us. Yes, it's obedience to do what Jesus commanded, as we just read a moment ago. But it's also to remind ourselves and never to forget. Never forget that great sacrifice. And we should always keep that in our hearts. Always keep that in our minds. So what did the stones mean? What God did for his people. So what does God do for us now? Well, you know, Hebrews 5, he blesses us. You know, we read the Beatitudes, and we did that last week when Alan led the class. In, you know, chapter 5 of Matthew, verse 1, "Seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came to him. He opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. God blesses us. And Jesus reminds us of blessings and how we can obtain such blessings. But we also read this morning, God sends the rain upon the just and the unjust. The just people get rain, get the sunshine, so do the unjust. God blesses his creation. He doesn't want anyone to go to damnation, but he gives us opportunity to do whatever we want. Yes, he blesses us, at least while we're here. He also reminds us, and to remind us also requires faith. He rewards us for this faith. Hebrews 11:6, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Also in Luke 6 in verse 20 it says, he lifted his eyes upon his disciples and said, blessed be you poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are ye that hunger now, for you shall be filled. Blessed are ye that weep now, for you shall laugh. Blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you, and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice ye in that day, and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven. For in the like manner did your fathers unto the prophets. Also in verse 35 it says, but love ye your enemies, and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and you shall be the children of the highest. For he is kind unto the unthankful, to the evil. Be therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Judge ye, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you shall be forgiven. Given, it shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together, and running over, shall men give unto your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. It's our faith. We're reminded constantly of what God has done for us. What has he done for us? He saves us. He's given us opportunity to do that. You know what? You don't have to take it. Sometimes people are asked questions, and it can be a yes, it can be a no. Sometimes the yes is for your benefit. Sometimes a no, while you're allowed to do it, is not for your benefit. 1 Timothy 2, 1 Timothy 2, and in verse 1 it says, I exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all, be testified in due time. Also in 2 Peter 3, in 2 Peter 3, turn with me to verse 8. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot, and blameless, and account that the longsuffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given to him, hath written unto you, and also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. But you therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things before, beware, lest you also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. In other words, you have the blessing of God if you wish to take it. You can be saved, and you can choose not to be saved. We are not guaranteed tomorrow. Most people who die suddenly, what are you going to do tomorrow? Well, I'll probably do this, I'll probably do that. Not everybody gets to see the next day. But we need to be reminded constantly of that. You know, let us remember what God has done for us. When we take those spiritual stones of the Lord's Supper, you know, we talk about you need to hear the word. Well, you heard it tonight, haven't you? A lot of people were here this morning. You heard it then. Maybe you're at other places and you heard it there. But you have to then believe. You know, Mark 16:16, he who believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. When we were sitting in the, looking at the little, I don't call it a church bulletin, the funeral folder, you know, that says, you know, for Sam and here, you know, born and where he's going to be buried. And I laughed about where he's going to be buried because many years ago, some of us were talking about maybe we should open up a cemetery. And we came up with the name Pleasant View Cemetery. So I looked at that and I emailed the notice to my buddy and he said, yes, he said, Sam must have been a great guy, even better because he's being buried in Pleasant View Cemetery. He says, where is it at? I said, I'm not exactly sure, but I wonder if the view is pleasant. Of course, what stinks is the view is pleasant for those visiting. It's not for those who are residents. They're a little further down in the viewpoint. But we were talking about that, and I said, there was like a farmer poem, and I said, that's nice. I'm not a farmer. I said, really, the one, if you're going to put a verse in there, put in Mark 16:16, because that's what I say in every single scripture. Might as well give them one more chance to know it before you put me in the ground or scatter my ashes or whatever you want to do with me. But you believe as it says, then you repent, as in Acts 2:38, you change your ways. You're no longer in a lost condition. You do those things that make you unlost. To confess, as in Romans 10 and Acts 8, where the Ethiopian eunuch said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And to be baptized, as we read in Mark 16:16, as the Ethiopian eunuch did in Acts 8, you took care of the problem. You know what? If you're not baptized this day, you're filthy dirty in the eyes of the Lord. You're not clean enough to go into heaven. You need to take care of that because you're not guaranteed tomorrow. And to be faithful to the end, as we read in Revelation 2 and verse 10. You've heard the words. If you go home tonight and you go to bed and wake up dead, maybe you'll be in your chair smiling, or maybe you just turn out the wrong time and a semi-truck gets you. There are people that happens to all the time, and they're not thinking about death. They're not thinking about having to be responsible for the Lord. They're not thinking about judgment. But we should always realize how serious the situation is. Because if you die tonight in your sins, you're going to face the Lord, and he's going to say, oh, why didn't you do that? Do that before it's too late. That's our lesson. There's been an invitation song selected. The invitation applies to you in any fashion. Please come forward and make your wants known while we stand and while we sing.